Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to John in the third chapter as we hear of a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. Here's how this conversation between these two begins. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a good teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this second week of Lent, we are in our second week of our Lenten series called Baggage. Each week we have a bag and a story of Jesus and something to learn of how Jesus is interacting with our lives through the bag and the story. We recognized last week that preparation is key. When you're packing, you want to pack the right things in the right bag. Otherwise, it can end up a big mess. We want to focus on how we prepare to go through this journey of life with Jesus. Last week, we found ourselves in the desert with Jesus. He was being tempted, and in his metaphorical backpack, Jesus had packed all the right things. He was able to face down temptation after temptation. He pulled out tools like the discipline of reading scripture and studying it, the discipline of worshiping God, the discipline of a prayer life. Each of these tools he had packed away in his backpack served him well as he faced down temptations. We, too, decided we were going to pack up our backpacks with tools and disciplines of faith that will serve us well as we prepare to face what life has for us, temptations and otherwise. We learned that we needed to be prepared. And in order to be prepared, it meant that we were going to need to be connected to God. So we had this visual reminder, the carabiner, that reminded us that we needed to stay connected to God through our faith disciplines. You were to choose a discipline and to practice it this week. And if you had a carabiner like this, you were supposed to put it somewhere where you'd see it to be a reminder as we start our habits of the discipline that you were taking up, something that would help to connect you to God. I hope you've been working on that discipline. Well, today, instead of a backpack, we've got another bag that comes down the conveyor belt to us. This time, it's a gym bag. You may have one of these at home and you may use it, or you might just leave it collecting dust in the closet. For those of you who have the gumption to regularly make it to the gym, you're probably pretty attached to your gym bag and know the gym as a place of wellness and possibly of health and transformation in your life. Did any of you make a New Year's resolution to go to the gym this year? No. All right, then I don't have to ask you if you're keeping your resolution. I'll admit, I'm not the sort of person that goes to the gym proper very often, although I do try to get quite a bit of exercise in through running around my neighborhood, pushing Ethan in the stroller, or doing workouts at home like Pilates or some high intensity interval training. One of my colleagues in the county has taken up the New Year's resolution of being a regular person in the gym. He's kept that commitment, and he actually made that commitment well before New Year's, so it's been several months now. And he has found that for him, the gym is a wellspring of health and transformation. He has transformed his body. He has transformed the way that he takes care of himself. He has transformed the need he had for medications to control some chronic diseases that he was faced with. The gym for him has literally been life-altering and life-transforming. In this week's story, Jesus meets a man named Nicodemus, and the two of them engage in a life-changing, transformative conversation. After asking Jesus several questions, Nicodemus learns from Jesus that there is a key to the transformation of his life. We find a summary of that key in John 3, verse 16, which tells us that God sent his one and only Son to die for us, so that whoever believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, will have eternal life. This is life-changing, life-transforming for Nicodemus. Like Nicodemus, we too have access to this transformational new life. This morning, much like hitting the gym, we'll have the opportunity to get in touch with the life-transforming power of Jesus. And much like Nicodemus, as we encounter Christ, we may just have some questions that only he can answer. And that's okay. As we come to Christ today, we come with open hearts and open minds so that our lives can be healed and we can be strengthened for service. Now, when you pack your gym bag, it's helpful to have some things in your bag that will help with your workout and the parts of your body you plan to engage. So let's see what we've got in this bag. Got some workout clothes. That'll be important. Got a pair of socks. Didn't put the sneakers in there. It gets too stinky. But you know you're going to need some good supportive shoes. We've got a water bottle. That will be helpful. You need to hydrate as you work out. Replenish the water you're sweating out. And speaking of sweat, deodorant so you don't stink quite as much. And here's some wet wipes for afterwards. You can wipe down a little bit, get cleaned up if you have to stop somewhere on the way home. I usually have a little towel with me to help wipe off the sweat mid-workout. Something to hold my hair back out of my face. Now, music, because that helps motivate me at the gym, but also headphones, because not everybody else appreciates my taste in music. One of the other things I make sure is always in my gym bag is a snack for either before or after the workout, to fuel up beforehand or something to have to recover afterwards. And when I go to the gym, it's not always just a time when I'm working out by myself alone. Sometimes I go for group fitness classes, something like a yoga class, perhaps. And sometimes you need specialized gear, like a yoga mat, for that. Now, these may be the sorts of things that you would put in a gym bag, or maybe you would put other things or different things in your gym bag. These are some of what I consider my essentials if I were to pack a gym bag. Now, when you go to the gym, there are different things that you can do. You could do the group fitness classes. You could work with some of the machines and equipment there. You might want to focus on particular muscle groups. Maybe you want to work on your abs or your biceps and triceps. Maybe you want to build strength. Or maybe you're going for stamina. You can do all sorts of things. There are weight machines, but there are also free weights. There's the elliptical and the treadmill. There's stationary bikes. There's mats. And there's so much more that the gym has to offer. If you are the sort of person who goes to the gym pretty regularly, or even one who follows a home workout schedule, I'm going to guess you spend time and effort doing your workouts, maybe even planning which groups of muscles you're going to work on which days. You probably spend more than 1 hour a week on your physical fitness. So what about your spiritual fitness? Do you come to church on Sundays but only spend 1 hour exercising your spiritual muscles? Have you been engaging in your Lenten discipline, your carabiner from last week? Have you been attending Bible study or lunch bunch or small group or Sunday school? If so, you've been exercising those spiritual muscles. Have you been praying daily and reading scripture? That's a great way to exercise your spiritual muscles. Have you served as a volunteer at the food pantry or packed backpacks for Heartfelt? Have you served your neighbor and your community in some other way? That's another way to exercise your spiritual muscles. I hope we can begin to take seriously the need to attend to our spiritual muscles and the different muscle groups that make up our spirit as much as we take care of our physical bodies. Feeding our spirits a nutritional word of God from Scripture is important. Stretching ourselves in service is important. Doing group classes together exercises us in a new way as we hear others and add to our own understandings. And of course, it's always important to be in touch with the master trainer, Jesus Christ, through prayer. And I don't know about you, but one time at the gym was not enough to build the muscles that I was looking for. It takes repetition, doing these things over and over to become strong and healthy in spirit. Variety also matters. Have you ever seen someone with like huge arm muscles and little tiny legs? Or huge legs and little tiny noodle arms? It's important to exercise all the parts of your spirit, to get a good variety of workout in. If you've ever been to a local gym like Planet Fitness or the World Gym or even the Drill Hall on Base, maybe you've been to one of those hotel fitness rooms and you've probably seen both the novices and the gym pros both. The novices are the ones sort of standing around the side, watching everybody else, trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. Every person, when they walk into the gym, has a goal, something they're trying to do as they work their bodies. Maybe it's to lose weight, or maybe their goal is to build stamina. Maybe the goal is to meet a certain benchmark, being able to do 50 push-ups without stopping. Or maybe it's maintaining a goal they've already met. Each person has a different reason for being there. However, each person also has the same reason for going to the gym. They go for their health, their well-being, and their wholeness. They've packed a bag. They've shown up. They've got gear ready to go, hoping to transform themselves, which may, in fact, save their physical lives, in a sense. At first glance, Nicodemus doesn't really seem like the sort of man in need of a savior or a spiritual workout. You see, he's a religious leader. He's one of the top Pharisees at the temple. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews. He's in good shape, or at least he is from the outside. He's not like most of the people who encounter Jesus, the ones who need healing, the ones who ask for other miracles. Nicodemus isn't in pain. He's not angry or disappointed. He's not suffering in any particular way. Nicodemus is, in fact, almost the opposite of most people who seek out Jesus. He's living the success story of life. And yet, Nicodemus is clearly not satisfied with his life as it is. He comes to Jesus looking for something that worldly success cannot offer him. Nicodemus is drawn to Jesus, what Jesus offers to him, because it's so clearly different. Nicodemus doesn't come to Jesus seeking power or privilege or status. He already has all of that. Rather, he comes yearning for something deeper, something that can give his life meaning. And that's not something he's found in the world. Clearly, Nicodemus decides to hit the gym with Jesus that night to check out the possibility that there might be something more, something he's missing. So in the cover of the darkness of night, Nicodemus goes to have a conversation with Jesus. He goes at a time when his friends and his peers won't be able to see him having a conversation with Jesus. You see, seeking out Jesus at all was a risky move for Nicodemus. To be publicly associated with Jesus meant he could lose everything he had gained in his worldly life so far, the power and the prestige. Nicodemus is wondering what more there is to life. He keeps his curiosity about Jesus and his admiration for this new spiritual leader in his life a secret from his social circle, at least in this encounter. We know very little about the rest of Nicodemus's life, except that we do know he continues to hit the gym with Jesus because of the other two times we hear about him in the Gospel of John. The second time we hear about Nicodemus is a few chapters later, and he advises his colleagues in the temple leadership to hear and investigate the situation more thoroughly as they're seeking to make a judgment concerning Jesus. The third time we hear of Nicodemus, we hear of him at the end of John as he offers up a sizable personal donation to be used to anoint Jesus' body for burial after his crucifixion. Nicodemus has a recurring role in John that reminds us that believing in Jesus is a complicated thing and a long-term project, not unlike going to the gym. We don't reach our pinnacle of physical wellness, the very first trip. We all need sessions with our spiritual trainer, Jesus. And in our sessions, I hope that we are invited deeper, just as Jesus invited Nicodemus deeper into relationship with God. Nicodemus was invited to be born again by water and the Spirit. Jesus is asking Nicodemus for the opportunity to let God work in his life. As the story of Nicodemus is told in the Gospel of John, it's a salvific encounter with Jesus that becomes just the beginning point of Nicodemus' journey that transforms his whole life. In John, we learn that believing is a verb, an action verb, something that requires us to do. Here's the good news. God is prepared and even eager for us to do the hard and messy and sweaty work that will bring us to a new spiritual maturity and that will bring us into new life with God. Let us pray. Oh God, in our journey through life, help us to remember that we seek not only physical and mental and emotional fitness, but also spiritual fitness. Lord, we each have room to grow and increase. Help us to pack wisely our spiritual gym bags. Help us to get the most out of each session with you. Keep us focused and working hard. Lord, we know that sometimes we are stubborn and think that we can have the benefits without putting in the work. Help us to understand that there are no shortcuts when it comes to salvation and eternal life. Help us to know that new life is possible. Forgive us and help us, for new life is found in you, and you are with us. Amen.